It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Kirk Elliott sitting in with us for a moment here today. It's Phone Friday, as it is each and every Friday here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. Phone lines will be open. We hope that you will call in and give us a thought about what you saw last night. We've got a lot to talk about. We had the World 100 prelim last night, Gold Cup last night, Port Royal last night, a lot going on. Austin, how are you doing today? You doing all right, buddy? You doing okay? Everything all right with you and your world?
You caught me in a bad moment.
I know it. I saw that when you were over there looking at the stream.
Every time.
Every time.
But no, it's a good day. It's Friday.
Yeah.
Finally the weekend. So.
What'd you think about some of the racing that we saw last night? Did Ryan Timms, how many people did he impress last night, Austin, do you think? Holding off, passing back Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson takes the lead. He passes him back. What did you think about Ryan's performance last night?
I think he had a good night. If you're talking about, if he impressed anybody, I think the people that didn't see him on the West Coast or don't know about him,
right?
He would impress them. But it's nothing new out of him. We've seen him do the same thing in the midget when he's raced Kyle.
Right.
They've had plenty of good races, whenever Kyle makes his select and few midget appearances. But, it was that night, and that track really played into the Timms' hands. Short track. They have a really strong short track program right now. And, their half-mile package is struggling, but, that just comes with experience. But, from racing in the Midwest for, about a year and a half, there's a lot of short tracks. And, the places that he got the race before turning 16 was a lot of short tracks, including, yeah. Houston. So he got a lot of experience, and to go out there to Chico, which is one of the most juiced up, gnarly short tracks on the West Coast, one of my favorites. It just really fell right into his hands. And, with the invert putting on the front row, it was just it made an easy path to a shot at winning. He was able to get out front and get the clean air, and traffic was going to be interesting, and it was going to be interesting to see how long it took the guy starting back in the fifth, fourth, and third row to get to him. And really, Larson was the first one, and it took Larson a while to get by him, and you saw Shewhart show some speed, but it kind of faded, and really I think Timms had one of the best cars. It's just
no doubt.
I think it just came down to some experience, and it that just comes with the racing. He made a mistake on a restart, but you can't fault Ryan for wanting to turn off the hill and come across the slick, because the previous restart, Ryan got tight on the cushion. So
right.
He made the right move, but logically he made the right move, but it just didn't work out.
Do you think when that final restart, when he went from the top of the track to the bottom, he shot to the bottom, and then he went back out to the wall, Kyle Larson went to the inside of him. You think that was the right move for him on that restart?
So what we saw at Chico last night is later in the race. Well, actually, they went out there and kind of reworked the top a little bit for the feature. So they left the top, kind of juicy, allowed the cushion to kind of build up and get up over the edge. And,
mm-hmm.
and the bottom was kind of, shined up and slick. So it wasn't. Dominic Stelzi kind of mentioned it, that, you want to restart on the bottom, and later in the race, the bottom off the floor is really good, and I just didn't feel like last night it was like that. So maybe
right.
it was something that they did different, or the weather was different, and it didn't allow the track to kind of wear that way. But, to really get a good run off of four and carry a lot of momentum into one, you need to restart on the cushion and on where the moisture strip was. And later in the race, the cushion got, kind of knocked over the edge, and it would kind of, make guys get tight and ball up. So you saw Shewhart was a victim to that, and we saw Timms on the second to last restart, kind of get the front end up in the air and get the car tight, and it allowed Larson to be freed up at that time and get it right into one and slide him. So if you feel that happen, and you have a second shot or a second chance, you know, given to you, you're going to do something different. Yeah. And, you know, he didn't run the bottom, you know, hardly at all that race during the race. So he didn't really know what it was like. And, right. you know, you come off the cushion and you're gassed up and you turn the car hard to the left and it buries the left rear down. And now, you know, you have some drive, but you're just kind of sitting there, you know,
right.
hovering. You have wheels spinning.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have a ton of forward momentum that, you know, Larson had, who restarted on the top. So it's just, you know, got to give the kid credit for trying something different, but it wasn't the right move to make.
It wasn't the right move to make. That was the first win in 10 years for Kyle Larson at Chico. Do you think, Austin, before I get into Kirk here real quick, I want to ask you, Kyle Larson's not going to be there for the rest of the weekend. I got a feel that Ryan Timms has a fast enough car to win Gold Cup. What do you think?
It'll be interesting to see who runs tonight and see what the points look like. So right now, you know, Timms and so Brad Sweet is leading points for Thursday night. Ryan Timms mm-hmm. second. If Kyle was going to be able to commit to, you know, the last night of Chico, it would be Kyle Larson and Brad Sweet locked into the dash. So the top two coming out of, you know, the points tonight will lock into the dash along with Timms and Brad Sweet. So, you know, I think if he can get, you know, his stuff together in the dash and get some good laps in and get some notes, you know, going into the feature, he's going to be a good card no matter what. You know, I think the dash can really help him, but you got to think about guys who are going to race, you know, all night Saturday night, have a ton right. of laps on the track, have their car really good, know
Experience.
What it's going to do,
right.
and then, you know, see what they do, see how they can, you know, kind of run up to the field a little bit. But, you know, I think if you're going to be sitting in the dash on Saturday, you have
a
each
chance.
Driver has a legitimate shot at winning.
Yeah. Who's your favorite of all the guys, excluding Kyle Larson, because he's not going to be there? Who do you think is the guy to beat? Do you think it's Ryan Timms? James McFadden's been pretty fast here as of late, too. Brad Sweet, he ran fourth last night. Or do you think maybe one of the local guys from out there in California can win?
It's going to be interesting to see how the format affects some of these guys and their speed from last night. But if you're going to go off of last night and try and pick a, you know, a guy to keep an eye on or have your money setting on, I think it would have to be, you know, I was impressed with two cars. One car was James McFadden.
Mm-hmm.
He's been fast, but just, you know, blew a motor at or had a shifter break. We don't know. At Skagit, had a good car. I think he had a good car at Grays Harbor, but just hasn't really put much together here. And, you know, this track, I feel like it's kind of like an Australian track, narrow. I'm not sure about it being juiced up like an Australian track. I feel like that stuff down under is, you know, slicker. But, you know, he had a really good run, so I think, you know, he's going to be a good contender. But also Corey Day. If Corey Day doesn't jump
no
the
doubt.
Curb
yeah,
and
he
two
spins
and
out
spin,
last night. Yeah.
He's going to be sitting in a top five finish and maybe, you know, really high in points. So, you know, I think Dominic alluded to it on, like, after the Justin Sanders yellow on lap 3 or 4, and he passed, like, 8 cars and was already up into the top 10 or so. I think it was, you know, about 8 or so cars. But, you know, he made a charge from the back to the top 10 in a short amount of time, and he continued that run until, you know, the later part of the race when he got up over the edge. But, you know, I think if Corey can get his night off to a good start on Saturday.
Start towards the front. Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be really hard to beat.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, well, let's bring in Kirk Elliott. He's sitting in with us here in our first segment. Scotty Cook's going to join us here in just a little bit. For everybody that is interested in talking to Scotty Cook, we were out at Lakeside last night. Kirk and Sam Haferteef picked up the win last night. He did it in pretty dominating fashion, too, didn't he?
He did. Probably, you know, one of the big moments of the night outside of Sam dominating the night was Dylan Westbrook, who I thought had a very fast race car, but got up into the fence down there in turn number one. There was a long delay of repairing the fence, and I thought he could have been a player last night, aside from how good Sam Haferteef was. So very surprising to see Westbrook get in trouble down there in turn one.
I don't think Dylan Westbrook had enough speed to catch Sam.
I don't either, but yeah. he was up there in the top 3 or 4.
Yeah, he was a fast car. He was a podium finisher last night, but
no
I don't think he was fast enough to win the race last night.
He wasn't going to catch Sam. No question about that. But It was some pretty good action out at Lakeside Speedway last night. And I was a little bit surprised that Blake Hahn didn't run better. He won there a month ago.
Well, he qualified fifth, and that put him behind the eight ball. You know, when you don't qualify good and you're back around fifth place, that's going to put you in a – that's going to make you have to work for it all night long if you qualify that far back. So that's what happened with Blake.
Right. So it was pretty good action last night, 23 cars. Good show. That, you know, everybody talks about the trend of the 410s these days. And there's no doubt there's a positive trend with 410 racing. But I'll tell you, sitting in the grandstands and watching the 360 cars, I can't really tell the difference. It's good racing. 360 still puts on good racing, in my opinion.
Well, I'm going to say it right now. Where were the frickin' fans last night? Why weren't the fans there last night? It was embarrassing to see the amount of people that was at Lakeside Speedway last night. I'm just going to say it. That was a pitiful crowd last night.
Well, they didn't get their normal Friday night crowd because they're racing on Friday night with another special of late models happening tonight out at Lakeside. So by scheduling back-to-back races on back-to-back nights, having a Thursday night and a Friday night, the local regular fans that would ordinarily go to a one-off event at Lakeside Speedway are going to wait and go on Friday night.
This has been going on for years.
Yeah, that's the way it is at Lakeside.
And that was the most pathetic crowd I've ever seen at Lakeside Speedway for a sprint car race last night. Just so you know. The most pathetic crowd I've ever seen. It was embarrassing to have a Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour race at Lakeside Speedway and have the amount of people that showed up out there in the grandstand show up. It was embarrassing for me, for my home track, the track that I care about the most, Lakeside Speedway. It was embarrassing last night to see how many people were there. And you can say all you want. They've been doing this on Thursday nights for 5-6 years now, and they've had the late models on Friday nights for the last 3 or 4 years. So the attendance was down. It didn't have anything to do with what was going on Friday night. It had more to do with people just not showing up and not buying the tickets. That's how I feel about it.
Well, I'm telling you, the local Friday night, the regulars that go to Lakeside Speedway, you didn't get those people last night. They're waiting to go tonight.
Kirk, we've promoted this race, co-promoted that race, for years with Terry Maddox and Emmett Hahn. And there was far more people going to those races than there was this year. It was absolutely embarrassing to me.
I can't explain it. The interest just wasn't there. What can you say? I don't know. How big of a crowd did they have down at Lake Ozark Speedway last weekend for that special event they had down there?
Yeah.
I wasn't there. You know how big a crowd they had?
I know exactly how big a crowd we had over the last several years because...
No, I meant Lake Ozark Speedway over the weekend. How big a crowd they had for that event down there?
Moderate
crowd.
Is it because we've seen so much hype with 410 racing that 360s has lost a lot of its luster? I don't think it should lose its luster because the 360 guys put on as good a racing as the 410 guys, in my opinion.
I'm going to tell you what they need to do. Dave Tyson, he chimed in here. He said, all the people I spoke with that were at Lakeside didn't want to see the B mods and the E mods on the card. Very simple. What they need to do is bring in NWRA or the War Series or bring in some non-wing sprint cars and make that the support class. That's what they need to do. Make it an all sprint car show. That might help a little bit.
And that would have you'd have to raise the purse for that. That would
I don't know
expense would be
hold
more.
Hold on. I don't think that's the case, Kirk, because first of all, NWRA is not that expensive to bring in.
But only, you pay a bigger purse in that class than you would the E mods and the B mods combined.
They race for $1,000 to win with MWRA. You know that, Kurt? You know what they pay to win?
But the total pay, yes, I do know what they pay to win, $1,000 to win. But the total payout for the MWRA would be bigger than the E mods and B mods combined of what they had last night.
Do you agree
night.
With that, Austin? I think it would be about the same, don't you?
Well, I'm trying to compare this or just think of different scenarios of this. But you look at the Outlaw shows that come here in late October.
Yep.
They run mod lights. I'll tell you, I do not want to watch mod lights race
That's
at Lakeside.
That's the worst thing I want to see at Lakeside Speedway. First of all, they shouldn't even be racing at Lakeside Speedway.
True, right. But sold out crowd, standing room only.
Right.
And that's just the difference between ASCS and the Outlaws.
Yeah, but the Outlaws are a bigger draw.
And that's it.
Right.
I saw some decent promoting from just some simple sources, but it's about publicity and popularity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can try and think, oh, it's a support class, and I'll be honest, I didn't want to watch those classes either. But you gotta get some hype and some energy behind the series. You gotta do it the Outlaws or have like the same, like when you think of the Outlaws and when the Outlaw shows come, I mean, it's an event. You know, if the event brings the crowd.
Right.
You know, you're gonna have to do the same thing with this.
Don't you think if you brought in non-wing sprint cars, it'd be a bigger show though? Yes or no? Your opinion. It doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't have to. You don't have to agree with me. But I think more. Listen, sprint car fans want to see sprint cars.
You know, I think they would appreciate it because you know they're all the fans that showed up last night. Majority of them showed up for the sprint car races.
Right.
So, you know, if you bring in another sprint car support class, you might pull, you know that group over. So yes, you'd have some more fans. I mean, yeah, it would just try it 1 year and see how it goes.
Yeah.
But I do believe that having races on back-to-back nights at Lakeside Speedway has an impact on, and it probably may have an impact on tonight's crowd. But they'll have a bigger crowd tonight than they had last night at Lakeside because it's a Friday night racetrack, and they're running a late model special there. And anybody that's thinking about going one night at Lakeside Speedway between the two, if they're regular Lakeside Speedway customers, they're going to go on Friday night because it's a Friday night racetrack. Thursday night is an off night, and I don't think having it on NASCAR weekend makes a hill of beans about drawing bigger crowds. I don't think the NASCAR weekend had any impact on that event last night.
So how can you explain that we had much bigger crowds than what we had this year, last year, the year before that, and the year before that? How can you explain that then, Kurt?
I think part of it is
because those races were on Thursday night as well.
Right.
And they had the late models on Friday night next night as well. So how can you explain it? What's different about this year than years past?
Hold on.
The crowds are off just a little bit, as I think Scotty back here pointed out, that it was moderate-sized crowd at Lake Ozark Speedway last week. The economy is not as good as it's been. People's purchasing power for entertainment is not as good as it's been. That's part of it. But also part of it is the star power for the Lucas Oil ASCS series maybe is not as great as what it once was.
What are you going to say, Austin?
The past 2 years they ran sprint car or ASCS at Lakeside, it's been on a Tuesday night. So
No.
Yes.
Hold on a second. We've always had a Thursday night race at Lakeside. Well, I take it back. Last year it was a Tuesday night.
And so,
but the year before that, we ran them on a Thursday night. We've ran them on Thursday night how many times, Kirk? How many times we do that?
Yeah, but that's been two or three years ago
that was pre-2020. So in 2020, when we had the COVID pandemic, we had the Sprint Week startup. Tuesday night was the first night at Lakeside. You had a really good crowd because, I mean, nobody was really going to races at that point. You go to last year, and it was the first annual event of the Road to Knoxville deal, and that was on a Tuesday night as well. And then you have a Tuesday and a Thursday night this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't remember the crowds being that good. in 21 and then the two events in 22. I remember 20 being really good, but, you know, they've always been in that Tuesday night, you know, standalone event only show for that week.
Yeah.
That when you had that Speed Week event on a Tuesday night in 2020, and it was not a Lucas Oil sanctioned event, it was the regional
Speed
Week event.
It was a regional race.
That event on a Tuesday night drew a pretty decent sized crowd. Well, on a Tuesday night.
The expense, and I'm only bringing this up because I feel sorry for Terry Maddox. When any time you got to reach in your pocket after you promote a race to pay the difference, it's not a good thing. And it's not going to keep promoters in this business forever if they have to continue to do that. Promoters are not going to just shell out the money, win or lose.
Right.
If they lose, to be honest with you, I hate to even say this, but I'm not even sure that ASCS would be back at Lakeside Speedway again.
That's a big question after the attendance at these two events that they've had here over the last couple of months. I would agree with you. There's a big question now whether they'll be back at Lakeside.
Yeah. Let's go to a little more positive note. Last night, Anthony Macri, surprise, surprise, picks up the win at Port Royal. Anybody surprised by that last night?
No. Not.
Not really.
No. He's the man there, isn't he? But didn't you think old Danny Dietrich was trying to run him in there? Double D was running him down there a little bit at the end of the race, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think Danny's car kind of came in, you know, at the, you know, later in the race. Maybe right. Anthony's stuff kind of got burned up there in traffic. But, you know, I was, you know, I'm watching that, and I'm looking at, you know, who's kind of a bigger storyline between the typical Anthony Macri show. And I think it would have to be, or faster car as well as, you know, a story too would be, you know, Logan Wagner. You know, he's going for his fifth track championship right now. And he started, what, second, third, fourth row?
Right.
I think it might have been the fourth, third or fourth row. And he drove all the way up to third. And I felt
he started seventh.
Yeah, so fourth row.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like, you know, he had, you know, it would have been interesting to see if he would have started on the front row, the second row with Macri and Danny to see, you know, how his car compared in speed with them. But, I mean, he drove by a lot of cars. So, you know, I think he had one of the better cars. You know, you look at the attitude of his car compared to like Anthony or Danny, and like later in the race, you know, Anthony's car, it didn't feel like it had the, or should the drive that Logan Wagner had. You look at Logan come off of four and the wings all the way back, and
right.
and he's just cranked a ton of wheel into it, and the car squatted almost equal across the rear and right in the middle of the black, just going forward. And that place is really unique on how they can get grip, you know, from top to bottom when the track's just completely slick. And, you know, I felt like, you know, that was, you know, a big, big contributor to his speed. And I just didn't notice that in Danny or Macri's car. So it right. would have been really interesting to see, like I said, you know, if he starts close to the front, you know, does Logan Wagner walk away with the win? And we don't talk about Anthony Macri winning.
Right. You know, Justin Peck looked a little bit strong there towards the end of that race, too. It looked like his car was coming on at the end as well, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, he lost a spot to Logan Wagner. So
right,
you know, I think he had a decent car. He doesn't really run that well there. I think, you know, this year he's changing that stereotype on not running well at a lot of places. After his, you know, just dominating year, I feel like. So, you know, I think your top five cars are going to be cars to look at and keep an eye on, you know, the rest of the week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What did you think about that race last night, Kurt? Macri just, he does what he does at Port Royal.
Yeah, I mean, the track prep at Port Royal just never disappoints, and Macri just knows that track better than anybody. And that slide job he pulled on Danny Dietrich last night to get that second spot, that was a pretty good move, but that was classic Anthony Macri. And to get by Bill Balog after that was not a big problem for him. And once he got out in front, it was Katie barred the door. He's going to be, I think, the man to beat for the big $50,000 payday on Saturday night.
How about last night, prelim night for the World 100? Jonathan Davenport picks up the first A main. What'd you guys think about that?
He did what Jonathan Davenport does, kind of like what we're talking about, Macri at
right.
Port Royal. Jonathan Davenport at Eldora Speedway.
He's money.
Is money in the bank. Now, he finished fourth in the completion of the late model dream on Wednesday night. He said the car was not even perfect last night, but he said it's close to perfect. But if we'd had, he said if we'd had this kind of a track on Wednesday night, he might have been sitting up here getting that big payday of the dream. He felt so confident about that race car. But a big night for Hudson O'Neill, too, who won the second feature event of the night. They had two 25-lap features. Very impressive performance by Hudson O'Neill to win the second race.
Jonathan Davenport won that race by 5.5 seconds.
Yeah. He checked
over
out.
Over Jimmy Owens. And Brandon Overton was third. Last night, Shane Clanton, Chris Ferguson were the other two guys that finished on the podium in feature number two. Is the money, the odds on Jonathan Davenport to win this race this weekend? Anybody?
He's got to be the favorite. And if he does, that would be his fifth World 100 win. That still's one shy of Billy Moyer, who's won six World 100s, but Billy Moyer has to be the odds-on favorite, but you can't count out Brandon Overton, who won his third straight dream on Wednesday night. He's still going to be a handful to deal with on Saturday night as well.
Now, what do you think about that, Austin? You know, there were some drivers complaining about the cushion not being good enough last night. There wasn't enough to get a hold of. It was kind of crummy up there at the top. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I mean, it had... You know, like I saw, I think Bobby Pierce had a run on the top there for maybe a lap or two that was shown on the stream. But, you know, it wasn't, you know, as hard packed as I think it, you know, was maybe for the million or the race, you know, after that. So, you know, but, you know, you watch late model races there and they don't really, it's not like a sprint car race where
right.
they're just
not
knocking
the
curb down. And
right.
they're, you know, kind of rolling the middle and floating the bottom and just, you know, keeping the car really straight and smooth and not yawed out on the cushion, knocking the decking off of it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think some guys would prefer to be up there, but I think there's the track and the way late model racing is, it won't, if it is up there for a little bit, it won't last long and everybody will migrate back to the middle and do what they usually do. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think you got to look at Davenport, look at Brandon Overton. You know, he kind of surprised me. You know, when he won that makeup race on Wednesday night. So I you know, it's hard to bet against him. That's his third straight. But you know, you look at his car back at the million, it just didn't feel like he had a ton of speed. So they must have found something, you know, between the million and now. So you know, you got to look at Davenport's being maybe your favorite and Brandon Overton maybe a close second.
And the other guy you can't count out is Chris Madden, who would have won that dream race had he not gotten down to seven cylinders. And if that yellow hadn't come out, I think Chris Madden would have won that top prize. And he still got a very fast race car last night. He ended up in fourth place in the first preliminary race last night. But he's got a car. And he's going to be a player.
I'm going to tell you who not to count out. Tim McCready.
Sure.
Tim McCready knows how to roll around Eldora really well. He runs second the last time he was there. Wasn't he second?
I think so.
He ran second.
Yeah, he ran
third
second.
At the
he
million.
Ran fourth last night in the second feature.
Right.
But he knows how to get around that racetrack. Don't count him out. Anybody disagree
And another,
with
that? I agree with you. And another former World 100 winner is Bobby Pierce. He won this race in 2016, so don't count him out. We've already talked about Shane Clanton and Jimmy Owens, other former World 100 winners.
Yeah, Jimmy Owens, you better keep an eye on him as well. He's going to be in the middle of it. I can't wait to watch it tonight as well. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Scotty Cook is going to join us in studio. We're going to talk about what happened last night out at Lakeside Speedway, plus what's coming up. With the rest of the Lucas Oil ASES National Sprint Car Tour, Scotty Cook joins us next here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Joining us in the studio now is Scotty Cook. But before we get into talking to Scotty Cook, I want to remind everybody about what's going on up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. They have a great, great track tribute to Ascot Park that was in Gardena, California, back in the day. I think it closed in the late 80s, early 90s. It was a great racetrack. They raced there 4 days a week. They have such a great tribute to Ascot Park right now up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. They've got all kinds of videos, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia. a lot of race cars that are up there. You know, I've talked about it. My favorite one is the Jimmy Oski old paint sprint car that's still painted like it was the day it was raced, the day it was pulled off the racetrack. They've got a Dean Thompson number two sprint car up there as well, Parnelli Jones car. They've got a midget that he raced it at Ascot Park. There's so many cool cars up there, folks. You need to get up there and check it out at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Remember, they're open 7 days a week. So if you want to take a weekend vacation and roll up to Knoxville, go up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame on a Sunday, you can do so and check out this great track tribute to Ascot Park that was in Gardena, California. And while you're there, buy a raffle ticket for the 2022 XXX chassis. They've got a complete 410 sprint car up there, and they're going to give that away on Friday, December 16th. And this is a complete race-ready 410 sprint car, folks. You need to get up there and buy a raffle ticket while you're there at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Take the time. Take a little trip over there. It's a great exhibit, the Ascot Park exhibit, and then buy you a sprint car raffle ticket while you're there as well. If you're not comfortable buying your raffle ticket online, you can always call them at 641-842-6176. Let me give you that number again. 641-842-6176, or you can go online and buy the raffle ticket at sprintcarraffle.com. So get up there, check out the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame Museum. Did you get up there and check out the Ascot Park exhibit up there?
I didn't get to spend as much time there as I wanted to check it all out, but I did get to have a gander at it. Always doing good things up there at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Bob Baker's just as good as they get, isn't he?
For sure.
Yeah,
no doubt about that. Glad to have him as a Missouri rep.
What are you drinking? A big cup of mud over there? What do you got going on over there, bud?
Does a fat baby fart?
Yeah.
You know I am.
You got to
get
come to life somehow. You got to get that coffee. First thing, I don't know if anybody knows this about Scotty Cook, but when we were traveling up and down the road all those years, first thing that Scotty does when he opens his eyes is get a cup of coffee.
Have to. So you can transition from comatose mode to alive and conscious and well.
Yeah. Scotty, I started off the show and I was getting a little pissy about people not showing up last night. I only say this and I only bring this up because I feel bad for Terry, right? Terry's such a good guy. He's trying so hard to be one of the great young promoters coming up through the ranks right now. I just feel sorry for him that he didn't have a bigger attendance last night.
Yeah, I thought it sucked. Really, I did.
Yeah.
I don't want to go casting out shame and blame to people for not showing up. I mean, school has started. It's a Thursday night. But it just sucked, man. Especially because while I was taking in the race in and of itself, you know, you get caught up spin cycle and everything you do, going through the motions of the evening. But somewhere throughout an evening, typically, I'll always pause and take everything in and have a very strong appreciation for where I am and what I'm doing. And I had that moment last night because, you know, you get to a big old half mile, big slide jobs and three wide racing, mixing it up, a lot of maneuvering. You don't see that as much as you see on a bull ring. You damn sure saw it last night.
Man, it was thick last night.
And action packed. That racetrack always has been awesome, and it was spot on awesome last night. And I just hated it. I hate it for Terry. I hate it for the promoter at Lakeside. What do you do? I don't know. I don't know what you do. I mean,
right.
A school night on a weekday, weeknight. I don't know. Do a carload special. Do a two-for-one. I don't know. Do whatever you got to do to get them in there. But it was a shame. It is a shame. And I hated to see it because It was some really, really, really good action for a half-mile dirt track last night.
Yeah. Matt Ward just chimed in. He said it's a little early for Scotty to be up.
Matt Ward knows me as well as you do.
Yeah.
Dracula, vampire.
What time do you normally get up, Scotty? About two?
No, I mean,
one?
No. I try to get up and stirring about by noon or so. But yeah. If I've been on the road and pull an all-nighter to get home, yeah,
Did you flop in the hot tub last night?
Oh, man, I did.
Was it good?
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
How long did you stay in there?
Oh, just one cycle.
One cycle?
Yeah, for sure.
Did you feel your blood pressure going up?
I can't say that I did.
You did?
No. No. No, but I enjoyed that, man. It was good. It was good to sit in there and decompress and unwind.
Makes you sleep better, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah. That's why Deidre found me on the chase there all sprawled out when she left for work this morning.
You were still sleeping out in front in the front room?
Yeah. Yeah, I was. I did. I passed straight smooth out, dude. Appreciated a moment. You know, half of the late night hours, especially on a race night, for me has always been wind down. I have to totally wind it down and decompress, and that takes a little extra time when you've been at the old speedway.
Why are you like that, Scotty? I know why. Your stepmother made you that way.
Yeah, I tease her all the time. She had a very regimented, not 1 minute after 10 p.m.
You had to be in bed.
Yeah, even up until I was 17, 18 years old. So you best believe when I moved out, I'll stay up as long as I want to.
Right.
So I teased my stepmother. She was she created that monster.
Yeah. So last night we were at Lakeside Speedway. Sam picked up the win. He did it in pretty dominating fashion, didn't he?
He did, and he was set up to do such with his starting spot. Getting a glance at the replay right here.
Is he the best 360 sprint car driver in the country, Sam? It's hard to argue that, isn't it? It's a tough one to argue. I mean, because there's a lot of really good race car drivers there, Blake Hahn, Wayne Johnson, Matt Cummington, but Sam winning all the championships that he has won, wouldn't that make him the best 360 sprint car driver in the country?
I mean, you know, that's a lot of drivers to stack him up against, too. But what I will say is he is awfully polished for as little as he races a 360 today.
Yeah.
Obviously, Miles Hill keeps him
grounded.
No, Miles Hill he keeps him very much grounded, but I think Sam keeps Miles grounded.
maybe so. You might be right there.
No, Miles keeps him 410 racing, and that's where Sam wants to be, but it is very impressive.
When he steps back.
When he steps back. All these drivers to a man will tell you that it's different driving a 410, stacking up to a 360. And when Sam comes back and races with us, it's always very impressive to see. And I really, really hated to see my little buddy Dill get upside down last night. And, man, it was so big.
That was violent wreck.
It was spectacular. And in fact, if they don't break away to a commercial, they're getting ready to run it right here. What is this, a Flow rebroadcast? Is this?
Yes.
Is this what
that's the replay.
Are you playing it, or is that?
No, we are playing it. It's the replay.
Yeah. Well, it is a lap or two prior from Dylan getting ready to bite it big. And he flirted with that happening a lap or two prior. And, you know, I listened to your all's opener, and you talked to Kirk about Dylan's chances of being able to win that race. I think track position and starting spot, and the fact that he didn't get a good, very, very good start, and Matt Covington really, really raced hard with him after Sam got gapped out and stepped out away from both of them. And once that happened, Dylan had his hands full of Covington trying to fend him off. And then I think that just kind of jacked everything up from there. And then he got in the middle of a really good battle with Garrett Williamson, who was rolling very, very well. And
maybe the most impressive race I've seen with Garrett.
It was pretty – I think I'd agree. I mean, because Garrett – and, again, you're on a big half mile, so you're not going to pluck cars off left and right. But Garrett did a – oh, my gosh, there it is right
it
there.
Was. Ooh, it was. It was a nasty ooh, one.
Golly.
And then Blake and was it Goodnow that ran over the fence?
Yep.
After
Blake
it came
Hahn,
down?
Blake Hahn and Riley Goodnow came through that fence, which is every bit as scary. And –
Blake told me it was kind of scary.
The whole thing was. Yeah. I recall
you were the first one there.
I was. It happened right in front of me, but I was just scared. I mean, you know, obviously, you know as well as anyone, we become really, really. These guys aren't just drivers to us; they become family.
Friends.
They're friends.
Yeah.
And some friends to the point of family. And I was scared to run up to the car because the wreck was so violent.
And sudden stop.
And stopping so suddenly.
Yeah.
And I was just relieved that once I got up there, I mean, hate to laugh about it, but I got up there and leaned over. You all right, buddy?
Yeah.
So.
He's pretty tough, dude.
Oh, that boy's tougher than a leather boot.
Yeah.
From Scotland, Ontario, Canada. He is not long on words, and he's a very quiet, shy individual. But once he cinches in, that boy is all hell breaking loose. He is a very, very talented driver. That is one driver that stands out to me over the last three or four years who has really, really come a long way.
Oh, no doubt.
His learning curve has been a big one, and he has really, really...
I have a feeling that they're going to be taking Dylan Westbrook over to the 410 side of things.
Well, I was just getting ready to say that. Yeah. That's going to be happening very, very soon, and there's no doubt about that.
Because he's shown some promise driving a 410.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no problem, no harm, no foul, and I think that he is going to be just fine once he starts getting more and more seat time behind the wheel of a 410. And man, I was just glad to see him get out of that race car and be on his feet and walk away and be okay last night, because Dylan is a wonderful, wonderful young man, and he's hell-bent behind the wheel.
Jason Martin, nice run last night. Podium finish for him as well.
Yeah, it's been a tough two or three weeks. Hell, it's been a tough 6 weeks or so for Jason.
He's currently fifth in the points right now.
Yeah. Jason's a good guy, and I think I'm not sure. Man, they're showing a replay again of that thing. But Jason's such a really good guy. He's a very accomplished sprint car driver, and he's been getting some really, really good quality seat time out here. He's been a really, really pleasant addition to the tour this year. He's just been lacking just a tick. A little bit of speed and a lot of luck.
Yeah.
Lacking in both departments this year. But there's no doubt he's got a lot of talent, and he's loved by many. You talk about Dylan being very quiet and reserved and shy. Jason, not so much shy, but he's not a man of many words, but he's a hell of a nice guy, and he's been a really, really great addition. And I'm always happy for him when they achieve well. And he didn't climb up into the top three, the podium position last night until late in the race,
right.
The last two or three laps. All in all, last night at Lakeside, we saw one hell of a race. I mean,
lap traffic really made it interesting.
Yeah, what made it so good.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's what allowed Sam to get away as he did as well.
He maneuvered that traffic excellent.
Very, very well. Yeah. It's been really interesting to watch this replay of the race just to see what we've been speaking of, because, you know, the racetrack was wide. Not much of a cushion, but boy, it was deep and gnarly.
It was a little narrow early, though, wasn't it?
But it widened out.
Yeah,
very
it
well.
Did widen out.
Yeah, yeah. And it widened out to the point of somewhat hairy. You know, we lost a transponder, and during this red flag, I was driving around in the
I
golf cart.
I saw you in the golf cart looking up against the wall looking for something, and I was wondering what you were looking for.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
Who lost it?
The Crawl Daddy.
Tim Crawley?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. And I took note while I was looking for that transponder how gnarly that muck was up above the racing groove. And that's what happened to Dylan, man. A lap or two prior, he was flirting with it in the same spot, and he was fortunate enough to get the car corrected. But boy,
he got that right rear in the wall, didn't he?
Yeah, you get up in that muck, and it just
and
that's what happened to him. And he got up in the fence, and away he went.
Blake Hahn's got a 62 point lead over Wayne Johnson. He's got 126 points over Tim Crawley. If I'm looking at it right now, I was talking to Tim last night a little bit. I think Tim's still in it. But it might just be a two-man race at this point between Wayne Johnson and Blake Hahn. But with Tim Crawley being 126 points out, it only takes a couple bad nights for the point leader or the guy in front of him, Wayne Johnson, for him to get back into the race for the championship.
True. Yep. And we know in this game that anything in the whole wide world can happen. And to that point, you and I have seen it before. What was the year that the 05 had a nice lead with about six or five?
Four races to go, I think.
Four races to go.
When we went to Las Cruces and El Paso, and then we went to
Yuma,
he lost it in those final races there.
Jason Johnson won it on
the final night of the season.
Yeah.
Won his first race of the year at Yuma, too, if you remember that. He didn't win
a race all year.
He hadn't won a race all year, and he won the final race in Yuma and picked up the championship.
And I remember him being very emotional that night. We weren't able to get a word with him right off the bat.
We had a good time over at the Coke Paul Casino afterwards, though.
Always did, every time we visited, for sure.
Yeah.
I likes me some Coca Paul Casino.
Yeah.
Don't act up in there, though, because they'll pull you aside and want your driver's license.
Right. All right, well, listen, Austin, let's take our final break right now, and when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. Scotty Cook's joining us in studio. We appreciate him coming in and hanging out with us today. Today's show is brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. It's Mostly Motorsports with Austin O'Neill, Scotty Cook, and myself. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Scotty Cook joining us here in the studio. Scotty, tonight, I think you and me and a big group of ASCS people are going to go to Kansas Speedway and watch the truck race tonight. What do you think about that? That's going to be fun, huh?
I think the American Sprint Car Series will be well represented there at the old Kansas Speedway. Looking forward to it. Just having a night off and then getting together with the fellows. You and I don't get to hang out that much anymore.
No, man.
And for some reason,
kind of sucks, to be honest with you.
However or whatever it is in the stars, that when we get together and we have a recreation night, it always ends up being a lot of fun. Blake always a lot of fun to hang out with. Brandon Hahn's going to go. Tried to twist old Tommy's arm off into coming over, but he acted like he probably wouldn't come. I think Tommy is maybe enjoying being a grandpa more than anything in the world right now.
I think he'll go tonight. I think Tommy will cave in and go at the last minute if you want to know the truth.
Well, you know he's pretty hard-headed. He's probably listening now, and he's thinking, nope, I'm going to show him. I'm not going to go.
come on, Tommy. You got to go with us.
It would be
Angie
fun.
Angie battles, and we love Angie, right? She says the race for second through fourth was awesome last
night. It was absolutely awesome.
It was really good.
And you know what? While we speak of her, I want to send out a shout-out to her. Because
she is the rock of that deal.
She really is.
Right.
She first and foremost, She keeps Terry even keeled and grounded. You know, that boy's got his plate so full with everything that he does that it's hard to, you know, it's got to be very difficult to keep everything within your ears copacetic and even keeled and Angie, you know, she kind of keeps him grounded, but more importantly, that girl works her ass off. And
she is not afraid of work.
And we love her so very much. She baby goat mama. Inside joke.
She said, y'all have a drink for me tonight.
Baby goat mama.
Yep.
She'll laugh when she hears that, I know. And she wanted to come. She wanted to come and stay. And Terry had to get home last night because Terry, if he already didn't have enough to do, he is not an administrator, but an educator at his home alumni school, Drumright Tornadoes. And this morning was the first day of
being a teacher,
junior varsity basketball practice. So Terry had to be there for basketball practice at 8 o'clock.
I didn't know Terry knew anything about basketball.
I don't think he does, but I think he interacts with
his brother,
the kids.
Yeah.
His brother graduated last year.
Yeah,
and Tyler. And a wonderful thing with that is, if not throughout his entire high school career, that they allowed Tyler to be a part of all of the sports, football, baseball, basketball. He was so beloved that when he graduated last year, they asked him back to be on the coaching staffs of all these
things. How cool is
that? And Tyler doesn't get to come and race with us very often because he stays so busy with everything back there in Drumright. But, boy, we love that boy so much.
Angie says it's a tough job keeping him in line. And I think she's talking about
Terrence Wayne. Yes, she is.
The USAC National Midget Series is going to be racing tonight at Sweet Springs.
How about that?
Yeah.
Late
models are racing tonight at I-70 Speedway as well.
Yep.
Yeah. All these racetracks trying to take advantage of
NASCAR
weekend.
I don't think you mean Sweet Springs
night.
As much.
Is it tomorrow night?
It's the 10th.
It is. It's not tonight. It's tomorrow night. Dave Tyson said tonight.
Well, for I-70.
Midgets at Sweet Springs will be a really good show, though.
Yeah.
It'll be the John Hink Memorial Championship.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Yep.
So hey, man, let me ask you this. Are you less stressed out with me not being on the road?
You going to throw that in my lap like that.
What? Are you?
I mean,
because I always kept the tension up a little bit.
Cattle prod, blood pressure, sweat.
I'm one of the people that made sure your blood pressure came down, just so you know.
After you drove it up.
No. I would,
come on now.
Hey, I made you go to the doctor in
before we even knew that there was a blood pressure issue, huh?
Right.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir, you did, and I'm glad you did, even though I got a thick skull. And we went and we got that handled, and I'm glad we did, because it was not good.
It's
little
not good.
Did I know.
You eating better?
No.
No, not any better?
No. Nope, I'm not. I can't say as I am, but I will say that I went for about 365 days on nothing but chicken breast, salad, apples, and great.
Are you back up to your normal weight now?
Yeah, we come full circle.
The way back.
Yeah, finally got her back up. Got on a scale the other day, and that's what I said. Well, we come full circle. We got back from where we started. But at the very least, the blood pressure's in check. And
that's the most important thing.
All is well.
So, Scotty, Caney Valley Speedway, tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Racy joint. That is the home of... Terry's business partner, Terry Maddox's business partner.
Right.
That place is always packed with people,
always
man.
Always have a lot of
It doesn't matter what night we race on there or when
do
we race.
Do the rural area racetracks do better than the tracks that are in the city?
It seems to be, at least in today's modern
day. There's not as much, there's not as many forms of entertainment to do, right?
Yeah. Caladeros County frog jumping contest or car races, what you want to do. Right.
And then you're going to Clay County Fair Speedway in Spencer, Iowa.
Pretty cool spectacle. Last year, they claim it to be the largest county fair in the country, and I don't know that I'd beg to differ because that thing is almost like a state fair. And I'll tell you what, those grandstands were jam-packed last year.
Was that where Terry had to flag from a
I think Yeah, it was a lift.
Yeah.
And
scariest thing I ever seen.
It ended up being one of the better races of the year. Matt Covington won the race, and it was a really, really, really entertaining racetrack and very interactive crowd. I mean, that thing was capacity. So we're looking forward to getting back up there, albeit I hate that it fell on the schedule when it did, because we got to bust ass and get back to
Wheatland.
The biggest race of the year.
I think it's the biggest race of the year.
It has been the biggest race of the year for 6, 7, 8 years. I mean, there is nothing on our schedule outside of the Knoxville 360 Nationals, but that's its own thing, and it's lost a whole bunch of luster as well.
The Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial is the best race of the year for me.
Best race, biggest race, hands down, no doubt.
Yeah.
And since they got the, it seems so long ago, but, you know, they went through a spell there at in Wheatland with not being able to have a very good track. But, man, that was a long, long time ago. And
that was only the first 2 years that we were there.
Yeah.
It was bad. It rubbered up real bad. But since then, they've really figured it out.
That's what I was going to say. That thing, they have figured out whatever they need to do consistently to make it awesome. Every night, three nights of racing, the biggest car count we have all season long.
Yep.
That thing is spot on, and it's slicked off, maneuverable, awesome, with a ledge and something to lean on before the end of each night of racing. And that in and of itself, with that many race cars, to have that quality of a racetrack is pretty impressive.
Scotty, I got to talk about it just a little bit, but the rumors are floating around that I-30 Speedway is going to be going away at the end of this year.
It appears that way.
It appears that way. And that's pretty sad. And there's rumors going around that maybe Devil's Bowl could be the next track that happens to as well. What would that mean for ASCS for two of their marquee events to go by the wayside? That would be terrible, wouldn't it?
Well, it would mean a disappointment and a bad deal, because you look at all of the places that you and I traveled over the last 12 years. Where did we have more stops? We did not have more stops other than, we were at Devil's Bowl. We've been at Devil's Bowl and I-30 Speedway more, probably twice as much as we have any other racetrack in the country. And a lot of great memories from both tracks.
Oh, no doubt.
I know for Devil's Bowl, I know that Lanny Ross told me a year or so ago, we were visiting there at his home outside of Turn 1, and he explained to me that they've been trying to buy that place out from under him for 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
And you're talking about a lot of money that could change their lives
forever.
Forever.
He, not only him, but the whole family.
Right.
Because the value of that property in metropolitan Dallas, Texas, Mesquite, Texas, is astronomical.
Big
and
money.
They've been jumping up and down to buy that place and mow it over and develop it to whatever forever and ever and ever. And I think the day is coming soon. I don't know. Maybe we might be able to squeak another year or two out of it. But I don't know that we're going to be as fortunate keeping Hammer Hill. And I don't know that that's more so people jumping up and down to buy it. I think it's a zoning issue.
I-80, Devil's Bowl, Little Rock.
They're going, man.
Gosh.
It's crazy.
Sad. It's kind of sad.
Someone brought up a point today that, or not today, but the other day that kind of rang true, that they're going by the wayside and closing up shop quicker than we're adding new ones. It's more difficult in today's world to build a new facility than it was in years past, per zoning and regulations as they are anywhere today.
Conditional use permits are very tough to get when you're trying to open a racetrack.
And to that point, folks, just get out and support And
go to
if
the races.
You are an open wheel dirt track race fan, get to your local track, support it. When you have an opportunity to get out and travel and enjoy some sprint car racing, midget racing, whatever kind of open wheel racing, just get out and go. Go, because trust me,
if you don't,
you saw it, and I'm still seeing it firsthand. Man, it's tough to get a big crowd in today's world.
Support your promoters.
Last night was case in point. Such a big disappointment and such an awesome,
great
so much awesome
night.
Action going out on the speedway, and then you look at the grandstands, you think,
You think it would be better if they had non-wing sprint cars as the
support class?
Support class.
I do. You know, that's a dumb question to ask me. I don't care much for sheet metal, so hell yeah.
Right.
For sure. So far as, you got to figure how much more it would cost for the purse or whatnot, but I think it would have drawn a few more fans, for sure.
I think so, too. The real open-wheel fans would show up if there was two sprint car series running out there.
And I just, last night still, it just makes me scratch my head, and I think that, I don't know, do a carload special or do something. You know it's a school night and a week night, and you're going to be up against all that. And Kansas Speedway, everything going on there, even though nothing was going on there last night. But still, in today's world, with the economy being the way it is, a race fan, where maybe 4, 5, 7, 8 years ago, hell yeah, let's go all 4, 3, 4 nights. Well, now, you kind of got to, for your family's sake, watch your budget and maybe pick one out of whatever's available to go to. So, but what the hell, we'll go out to Kansas Speedway tonight and we'll have a good time and we'll support there.
We'll throw back a couple maybe tonight.
Yeah.
Maybe. Angie said, I've made Scotty an official now.
She has.
Yeah.
She has. I'm feeling.
Junior official.
Yes. Multitasking. Things have changed in that department. Not just the guy with a microphone standing on the edge of the track. A lot more things to do.
Yep.
So what's your job title, Scotty?
Jack of all trades.
Well, for the official side of it.
Herding cats when it comes time for qualifying, which is a feat in and of itself. And I've learned firsthand that they don't just come and get in their proper position and be ready to go when it's their time to go. No, it's above and beyond that. That whole deal is herding cats. On track stuff, helping here and there with the cone, helping communicate with the drivers on the track. You know, each and every one of them have transponders, but
they don't all listen.
I say 4 out of 5 of them do not listen. So Terry gets very animated on the radio, and a lot of times those guys don't listen, and you need a little visual assistance to get in the spot you need to be in, and one to goes, stuff like that. And it's all good. I embrace it. You know, like I told you last night, if I hadn't kind of assumed that role, then
you might be bored.
The workload would be a lot less, and I don't mind it one bit, because I love Terry, I love Angie, I love the entire crew that I work with.
No doubt.
We have a lot of fun, and I believe in all of Terry's efforts. And when you believe in someone and what they're doing and their cause, and you're more willing to want to help and lend a hand. So that's what I've been doing, and I don't mind a bit.
Thanks for hanging out with me, bud.
I appreciate it, buddy. I miss you.
Yeah, I miss you too, bud.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's it for today's show, Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, for Scotty Cook, I'm Scott Traylor. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Central Time. It's Track Talk with the Racing Boys, Kirk Elliott and myself. I believe Kirk is going to be out at Kansas Speedway. He's going to Zoom in tomorrow. So join the show tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock Central Time. It's 2 hours. It's called Track Talk with the Racing Boys. Kirk Elliott, myself, along with Austin O'Neill, Todd Surprise. We hope that you'll join us tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Central Time, right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.